Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is January 22nd, 2015. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in the time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. You can always find updates for the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address, which is at our blog, which is very simply prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com. Our program archives can be found there, and the archives and prophecyhour.com are very smartphone friendly. So go over there, and in fact, at the branch.podomatic.com site, which is the end time radio archives, if you scroll down on the right hand side of the page, you'll find it. They have an Android and a Google app. So you can get apps for your cell phone. But right now, I want to offer a word of condolence to a brother. He's been on this program before. His name's Eddie Chumney. He has been I'll call him a Hebrew Roots teacher for many years, and he travels the country and does that. Many of you know him. We received an update earlier asking us to pray for him because his mother and father, Doyle and Lillian Chumney, went up missing. And anyway, he went up missing. Anyway, they were found recently. They were found just a while ago, or really the remains of one of them was found in their missing car not long ago. Originally, people asked us just to pray for him. Well, now they found the car, and the car has been set on fire. And the report I just read, it said that at least one person was found in the car pretty well burned up. So I don't know. So now we kind of think that they're probably deceased. So at any rate, we ask that if you know Eddie, or even if you don't know Eddie, that you would please pray for him and pray for his family. Our deepest sympathies go out to all of Eddie's family and our prayers. So we ask you to do the same thing. And what a tragic thing. Anyway, and their house was ransacked when they came up missing, so you can find that information on Fox News. All right, now a prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not mine. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. And please, Father, we lift up Eddie and all of his family for what is going on with them. We ask for your intercession with them and comfort them, and for your will to be done in this situation. So please, Father, we lift them up and also bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, tonight we have back home with us again Pastor Carl Gallops. He's, of course, a best-selling author, senior pastor, and talk radio host. He was on with us last week, and yeah, he's a former decorated Florida law enforcement officer. Well, he is the founder of PNN, or PPS Simmons News and Ministry Network, and he's a member of the Board of Regents at the University of Mobile in Mobile, Alabama. Well, Carl was on with us last week talking about his new book, Final Warning. So why do we have him back on so soon? Well, It's because of another book that he wrote, and that's called The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, the story of Yitzhar Kaduri and his prophecies of the end time. Well, Carl's been on with us several times talking about the book and how it was published in Hebrew. Well, this came about because of a Messianic rabbi by the name of Zev Porat. Zev, after I emailed him, he called me today as I was getting ready for radio earlier today, getting ready to go on a program I do with the Prophecy Club for Agenda News. Anyway, he has agreed to be on with us next week. Well, we booked him for 5 p.m. Central Live next week. Well, I brought Carl back on with us. About that time, I looked at my computer and I noticed Carl's people were sending out another email saying Carl will be on radio. Anyway, make a long story short, I asked Carl to come back on to renew everybody's memory about what's going on with that book and with Israel. And so let's just bring on Carl and he can fill in the gaps. Are you there with me, Carl?
I am, Pastor Dan. God bless you. Thank you for having me on. And my prayers go out for Brother Eddie. What did you say his last name was so I can add him to my prayer list?
Chumney. 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 He's a real well-known Hebrew roots teacher. He's been around for a long time, I'm just saddened by it. I know him. I've had him on radio and seen him talk, and it's just a very sad thing.
Me too. And being a former law enforcement officer, from what you described a minute ago, it doesn't sound good at all. God bless him and his family. And thank you, Pastor Dan, for having me on tonight. It's so great to be back with you.
Well, amen. I didn't think it was going to be so soon, you know, brother. But, you know, did you hear what I said about Zev? I emailed him and wanted him to be on radio, and I didn't think it was going to happen because such of the time difference in Israel. But he said he'd be more than happy to be on. And we talked we kept talking, and I had to finally break it off with him because I had to get ready for my program that I do earlier in the day with Stan Johnson. But he agreed to be on next week, and then I was thinking about it. I went to my computer, and your name popped up from the publicist people, you know. And I said, hey, that'd be a great idea. I didn't have a guest for tonight. I'd been trying. I hadn't found one. And I thought, well, why not get Carl back on to renew everybody about the rabbi who found Messiah and let them know who our guest is going to be next week. So you get to do my intro for him.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, you and your audience are going to be delighted with Brother Zev. He is a delightful man. He loves the Lord. He has the gift of evangelism. He's passionate, especially he's like a modern day Apostle Paul in that he'll preach the word to anybody. He's not ashamed of the gospel, but his biggest passion, his heart, is for his own people. Zev, born and raised in Israel, was born to be and training to be a rabbi when he found Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and became a born-again child of God, a believer in Yeshua, Jesus Messiah. And, of course, you know, his family disowned him, his friends disowned him, his little town, B'nai Barak. In Israel, distinctly Hebrew town, village, community filled with rabbis, they disowned him and think he's some kind of a cultic nut, you know, just like the early believers, just like the Apostle Paul was rejected by the Hebrew people, by the Jewish people, by his own people, like the disciples were. So Zev's father was a rabbi. Both of his grandfathers were rabbis. Both of his great-grandfathers were rabbis. One of them, several of them, I actually knew Rabbi Yitzhak Kaduri, the greatest, the most venerated rabbi in modern Israel's history. And therefore, Zev is in contact with and knows many of the students of Rabbi Yitzhak Kaduri, who's deceased now, but many of his students from his yeshiva, as you know, that's the Hebrew word for a rabbinical training school, like a seminary. And so Zev is in contact with them. 11 of Rabbi Kaduri's students are now born-again believers, Jesus-loving, Yeshua-believing believers in Yeshua as Messiah. So he is going to be amazing. He has unbelievable stories, Brother Dan, Pastor Dan, and a lot of it is captured on film. A lot of it's captured in video. Other stories that where video and film was not allowed, pictures were not allowed by the people. Zev has written stories about what has happened. He's been in and out of synagogues witnessing Jesus Christ. He's even been in a couple of mosques and has even led one Muslim imam in China to Jesus Christ, and use my book, The Rabbi That Found Messiah, as the starting point. And he uses my book and my movie, the movie that was made about the book, as a starting point for delivering the gospel. Jews all over Israel have been saved, several of them baptized. It's just amazing. I can't wait to share more of this as we continue this discussion tonight. But when your people hear Zev Peratt, they're going to be thrilled to their toes.
Okay, let me say this real quick. By the way, Zev said that he was going to tune in tonight and listen to what you had to say about him and what we had to say. So he's listening right now, and so you can say hi. While I can't respond, you can say hi to him.
Okay. Well, my dear brother Zev, you know how I feel about you, and God bless you, and we're praying for you. God has anointed you and gifted you, Zev, and it's amazing the work that you were doing long before you and I met, but it's just a privilege to be a part of that work with you now in Israel. God bless you, Zev.
Amen. And I can't wait to have you on next week. And so that was a great intro for him. But, you know, let's bring in your book, because I know I get new listeners all the time, and I never tire of hearing the story. So what about the book? Who is the rabbi that found Messiah? Let's go into that.
Okay, great. And, you know, there's a really, really neat God story as to how that book and movie is connected to Zev Peratt and how it wound up in his hands and how he got involved. So I'll tell that at the end of this story. But, yes, thank you. Let me just give the brief version, the overview version. Yitzhak Kaduri is the name of the rabbi. This book is called The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, The Story of Yitzhak Kaduri, and it's a true story. Yitzhak Kaduri was 108 years old when he died in 2006. And he was in the land of what we now call Israel. It was called Palestine back then, long before it was the nation of Israel, practicing his Jewish faith and performing his duties and responsibilities as a rabbi to the Jews that were living in the land. So he was there. Through World War I, he was there. Through World War II, he was there when Israel gained its independence and all the wars that Israel fought. As it came near the end of his life, he became an integral part of the political scene in Israel. He was good friends with Ariel Sharon. We'll talk about that in a moment. He was good friends with Benjamin Netanyahu. As a matter of fact, helped Benjamin Netanyahu win his very first election. So this guy was integral in the political and religious life of Israel and became the most celebrated, the most venerated rabbi in modern Israel's history. As a matter of fact, when he died in 2006, Pastor Dan, there were 250,000 to 300,000 people came to his funeral. This was reported in the main. Yeah, it was reported in the mainstream media. I remember seeing clips of it on Fox News when it happened, because they had to shut the streets of Jerusalem down for a day and a half, 2 days. Ben-Gurion International Airport was crammed full of airplanes coming in from all over Europe carrying people that wanted to come to this funeral. So this was not some little obscure rabbi tucked away in the bowels of Jerusalem. I mean, this guy was known by and loved and adored by many millions around the world, primarily in Israel and Europe, but of course Jews in America knew of him as well. But what makes his story so astounding, Pastor Dan, and I want to be fair to your audience, my book is written journalistically. I deal with the good, the bad, and the ugly. I deal with the controversial elements of the story. I deal with the supernatural, biblical, exciting elements of the story. I come at it like a journalist, like a pastor, like a Bible theologian, and also like a cop. And I lay it all out there, and then we come to this astounding conclusion. But the bottom line is, what makes this story so amazing is that just a few months before he died, in October of 2005, at a Yom Kippur service in his synagogue, and even prior to that in his yeshiva privately, but at that service he declared two astounding things. He declared that, first of all, he had met Messiah, and he knew the name of the real Messiah. He had had a vision, if you will. A lot of people, when they hear this story, they liken it to the vision that the Apostle Paul had on the Damascus Road, you know, that he said he met the resurrected Christ, and it changed and transformed Paul's life forever. Well, this rabbi said something similar. He had a vision of the Christ, he knew the Messiah, he knew his name, and he was going to reveal him to the world, if you will, in a very unusual method. But as it turns out, now that the story's, you know, unfolded and almost over, it turns out that it was genius. So, you know, either he was a genius and or God really was in this and directed him to do it. But he said that he was going to reveal the name of the real Messiah to the world by writing his name in a note. And the note was to be sealed and secreted away and secured until 1 year after his death, when the note would be opened by the people of his ministry. And he had a big ministry. He was the Billy Graham of Jews, if you will, in Israel, you know. And he had his own website and a ministry team. His 80-something-year-old son was the heir apparent, kind of like Franklin Graham with Billy Graham. So this is the enormity of this man's message and what he said and his ministry. So he announced to his congregation that he had met Messiah. He had a vision, and he was going to put his name in a note. All right. That was amazing thing number one. Amazing thing number two was he said it had also been revealed to him that Messiah would not appear. Messiah would not come to earth. Messiah would not set up his rule and reign until after Ariel Sharon had died. Now, what's amazing about that is when he spoke those words in 2005 in October, Ariel Sharon was still very much alive and was the 11th prime minister of Israel. But watch this, Pastor Dan. Within weeks, I mean, it was just a couple of months, 8, 10, 12 weeks, by the very beginning of January, Ariel Sharon suffered a stroke and went into a coma. Now, the world couldn't have known at that time, but that coma would last 8 years, 8 years and 7 days. So Ariel Sharon died in January of 2014, a year ago, as we're talking now, a year ago. So watch this. So within a few months of him saying, I've met Messiah, and I want this note secreted away until 1 year after I'm dead. And also, number two, God revealed to me that Messiah would not come until after Ariel Sharon has passed. Well, within a couple of months, Ariel Sharon's in a coma and would last in a coma for 8 years. But within a couple of weeks after Ariel Sharon went in a coma, in the same month, January of 2006, Yitzhak Kaduri died. I mean, you know, just amazingly, within months of him making these two astounding utterances, Sharon is in a coma, and Yitzhak Kaduri died. And then, of course, comes the funeral and 250,000 people, and the president of Israel gives the eulogy, and they shut the streets of Jerusalem down, and world media is talking about his death, and the world went on about its business until a year later, 2007, January, February, March, somewhere right in there, the note was opened. It was written in Hebrew, of course. It was posted on his website, kaduri.net, Israel Today and News First Class, both of them Hebrew publications right out of Jerusalem, right out of Israel. They made copies of the note. They had screenshots. They ran stories on it. And the secret was out. But here's what happened. When the note was written, he wrote it cryptically, and he was famous for this because, you know, in his rabbi days, he was into Kabbalah, the mysterious, cryptic, secret interpretations of Scripture, etc. And so it was not unusual for him to write something in a cryptic fashion, but he wrote in this note a paragraph, and the paragraph contained instructions for how to decrypt the note. And it was on his website for a month or two, until somebody finally realized that, oh my gosh, this note has instructions on how to decrypt it in order to know the name of the real Messiah. And so when the instructions were followed, the name of the Messiah that he left in Hebrew was Yehoshua, which we know as Yeshua, or as we would pronounce it in English, Jesus. So you've got the most venerated rabbi in Israel's modern history proclaiming that the name of the real Messiah is the most hated name in Orthodox Judaism, The name of the real Messiah is Jesus. Now, that is astounding, but again, as soon as that was decrypted, Pastor Dan, the note was pulled down. His organization went into denial mode. They started trying to say the note was a fake, but, you know, here it was in his own handwriting. They destroyed the note, but, of course, screen captures had already been made. I've got pictures of it in my book. Any Hebrew reading person can read the note and see that it's authentic. Of course, I have it all translated in my book into English. So there's no denying. There's the note. I mean, how can it be fake? It was on his website. His people put it there, and they were the ones in possession of the note. So there it is. And he proclaims. Now, in case there are people that don't know this story and they're listening and they might be scratching their heads in doubt, please remember the continuation of the story. In case you might be doubting that, well, the note might be fake, or he wouldn't have said that. There were 10 of his students in the next few months after his death, and Zev Peratt has interviewed a lot of these. He's got them on video. He's talked about them. He's written stories about them. 10 of his students are born again, professing believers in Yeshua, and they all testify that the reason they are is because Yitzhak Kaduri was secretly and privately teaching that Jesus was Messiah in his yeshiva before he died. So, I mean, why would these 10 Orthodox Jews living in Israel, taking all of the heat and the persecution that's coming their way, why would they lie about that? Why would they do that? If it didn't really happen, that's the dumbest thing they could do in their life. It's the most dangerous thing they could do. But it did really happen, and he was really teaching this, and he wasn't teaching a false Jesus, he wasn't teaching an Antichrist, he wasn't teaching a foreign Jesus. He was, because these 10 students are born again believers in Jesus of the New Testament, Jesus of the Bible, Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth, and then an 11th one. Since the book and movie has been published, an 11th one of his students, through the ministries of Zev Peratt and taking my book and my movie and ministering to him, he now is a born-again believer, and he testifies that, yes, Kaduri was, you know, teaching this. So now, Kaduri, it's my understanding, and Zev Peratt can clean up anything that I've made a mistake on, but it's my understanding that Kaduri wasn't preaching in his yeshiva like you or I would, and he wasn't, you know, pounding his fist on a table and proclaiming Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the Messiah in that way. But what he was doing, he was like the Apostle Paul. He was taking the Old Testament scriptures, you know, Isaiah 53 and Psalm 22 and Zechariah 12 and, you know, these scriptures, and he was somehow the scripture says about Paul. Yeah, he was proving from the scriptures that Yeshua is the Christ.
Carl, we got to break in. Because, you know, we go to a break in the middle. Folks, you can find him at carlgallops.com. I'll say it for him, carlgallops.com, or Google his name, Carl Gallops. You'll find him. And there's a lot of things over there, Carl, even your other books. And so, folks, we'll be back in 3 minutes with more with this great story. We'll be right back.
Pastor Dan will be right back. Few things in this world are more important than clean, pure water. Understanding this, ABR makes 4 tabletop water distillers available to you for purchase. First, we have the 5.5 hour per gallon with polycarbonate collection jug for $139. The second is a 5.5 hour per gallon with glass collection jug for $189. The third is a 3.5 hour per gallon with polycarbonate collection jug for $189.
$29, and our premier tabletop distiller is a 3.5 hour per gallon with glass collection jug for $250. All our distillers have a stainless steel boiling pot, dome, and cooling tubes. And the premier version also has a splash flap to protect against contamination of the cooling tubes. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com for more information and protect your water supply.
Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Closed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com. Or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
We are back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. So why do so many people come to us for help? Well, love, that's the first answer. And then they're treated as family. Second, and beyond that, we have no set guidelines like programs. The only programs that I have are radio programs. So people just walk in the door and ask. That's the rule. If we have a way to fill the need, we fill it. If not, we pray it in. In fact, people come from all over the city looking for miracle prayers. That may be the only time that we see a person who'll come in and talk to me for a little bit. Maybe have heard me on radio, or maybe they've just heard from me from another poor person, and they'll come in and they'll ask for a prayer, and I'll pray with them. And, you know, we may not ever see them again, but usually when we do or run into them, we find out that it was a miracle prayer. We pray for people. We've seen sicknesses instantly healed, and so on and so forth. People come there because they know the Spirit is there. They come to us because they're led. Well, you know, even the agencies tell their employees to tell the people about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop those agencies from helping, they send people to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really, well, has no budget. We are the last hope for so many, and we're all responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. or call me at 620-878-4682. And for the record, folks, an update on Mercy. You know, just as everything else with our ministry, you know, we've been trying to get Wichita to support Mercy, the woman's shelter. And, you know, we haven't been able to find funds to do that. And we didn't want to ask you folks to do it. So we're just going to open it by faith. We're working on getting the gas turned on next week. And we're looking for some pregnant women to put into it, because we don't have room enough for every homeless woman in Wichita. But we're praying that this will be a door to open to get through to the news media, so that people will see that there are women that need on the street. So we're going to do that. And it's all by faith. And by faith, we believe, I mean, we spend down to the last nickel in our pockets, because we believe by faith the Father will take care of things. And this is always, and he's been doing it for the last 15 years. So pray about it. We do really need your help, because it's only people like you that listen to us on radio that donate. Yeah, we do a mail-out newsletter, but it hasn't went out in a couple of months because of all the extra expenses over, you know, over the holidays. So pray about it. We could really use your help tonight. And now we're back to a great story about Rabbi Kaduri, and we're talking with Pastor Carl Gallops. If he's still there with us, are you still with me, Carl?
I'm still here, Pastor Dan. God bless you, brother.
Well, amen and amen. Well, I'm so glad to have you on it. It's starting to feel like old home week every time that you get on, though, but that's okay.
Well, I feel very much at home on your program, and God bless you for the work that you're doing in advancing the kingdom of Jesus Christ.
Well, amen. You know, we just feel like what we do, we feel is a natural thing to do, you know, and yes. It's so happy to serve him and to know we serve him by serving others. We know it's a funny thing, right? So I ask a lot of people, or you believe that you're in the Father's will or whatever. I know that what I'm doing is what I'm supposed to be doing. And so that's what matters. So we're 100% comfortable in what we're doing, and we just love to serve.
Amen. Amen. Me as well, brother.
Amen. You're pretty good at what you do. Speaking of which, we're talking about Rabbi Kaduri.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't remember where I left off, except I think I left off by declaring or saying that the 11th Kaduri student now has come forward as a professing believer in Yeshua as Messiah and Jesus. And we're talking about the Jesus of the New Testament, the Jesus of the Bible. They will tell you that very clearly. So anyway, that's the legacy of this story. That's the end game legacy of it. Now, in the meantime, 1 year ago today, Ariel Sharon died. Now, people ask me a lot of questions. They ask me, well, was Ariel Sharon's death a time marker? Can we expect Jesus' return now? And when can we expect it? Is there a date and time set, you know, because of what Kaduri said? People have asked me about the Kabbalah connection. Would God use a rabbi that was into Kabbalah? People have asked me about some of Kaduri's stranger statements several years before he made this Messiah pronouncement. He proclaimed that Messiah was already in Israel and was waiting to identify himself, and that kind of throws people off. Of course, I explain all this in the book, and we go into all of these questions. I've done television interviews and radio interviews on all of this, but be glad to talk about any of it you would like, you and your listeners tonight. But the end game is this. Look, why would the Billy Graham of all Jews say that Jesus is the name of Messiah, knowing that the name Jesus is the one name that's anathema to Orthodox Jews? And he is the Orthodox Jew of all Orthodox Jews, you know, for the last 70 or 80 years in Israel. It's him. And he proclaims Jesus is Messiah. That would be like if Billy Graham died and left a note proclaiming that Muhammad was the Messiah. It would just rock the Christian world. Well, when Kaduri proclaimed this in this note, the Jewish world, I mean, they shut it down. His organization took the note, destroyed it, proclaimed it was a hoax. But again, Israel Today and News First Class had already published stories on it. Now I've written the book. Now a movie's been made about it. But in the meantime, the Israeli media won't touch this. The mainstream American media won't touch it because it's just too biblical. It's just too New Testament. It's just too much like Apostle Paulish kind of stuff. And by the way, you and I would probably agree that it's just too prophetic. It's end times kind of stuff.
Yes. Amen. Amen. It is end times kind of stuff because, you know, like I told Zev, one of the signs that I've been looking for would be Jews turning to Yeshua in the end times. And so that was a sign that I was looking for. Why don't you, while our train goes by, why don't you tell us about how the book ended up in Hebrew?
Yeah, well, okay. And that's kind of connected to how it wound up in Zev Peratt's hands. There's a couple of stories here I'd love to tell. They're what I call God stories. I mean, only God could pull this off. And I will keep them as short as possible, and then if you have questions, just please feel free to ask. But the bottom line is, so right before this book is released, my wife and I are praying. I'm excited about the project, but I knew in my heart, I said, you know, most Western Christians, most European American Christians, I don't know about most, I said, but a lot of them aren't going to get this. They're just not going to understand it. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way. It's just, it's so Jewish. He was so Jewish. And you've got to understand the Jewish mindset and the Jewish concept of Messiah. It's so different than what you and I would know from the scriptures. And so when you've got the Jew of Jews, the Hebrew of Hebrews, the Rabbi of Rabbis, declaring that the name of Messiah is Yeshua. I mean, it just rocked the world. So I'm writing this book knowing that I'm going to take heat from Orthodox Jews all over the world, knowing I'm going to be the target of attack, and I have been too. But God has blessed and protected. But I knew it. But my heart was, my wife and I prayed, said, Lord, if there's some way that this book could get it to Israel, if there's some way it could make it into the hands of somebody there that could use it to win Jews to the Lord, because that's really who this message is for first. But that had to be a God thing, because we didn't have any way of getting it to Israel, and we knew that Jews were not going to run down to a bookstore and buy this book. So we didn't really know what was going to happen. Well, anyway, so the book is released, and of course, you know, Christians around the world are mesmerized by it, and they're beginning to read it, and I'm on TV and radio. And in the meantime, there's a gentleman and his wife, Chuck and Tammy Moeller, M-O-H-L-E-R, Moeller. They're from Indiana. They're produce farmers. They have a huge produce farm and a big trucking farm. They supply grocery stores and stuff all over the Northeast. So it's a huge operation. They employ hundreds of people. But they're on a vacation trip. I don't know these people. They're on a vacation trip to Key West. Now, I'm in Pensacola, Florida, way up in the panhandle. And I get a phone call one day out of the clear blue from a guy named Chuck Moeller, who's from Indiana. And he says, listen, we need to talk. My wife and I, you don't know me, but my wife and I are from Indiana. We were on our way to Key West. We stopped in a bookstore in South Florida, got some groceries next door. We went into the Christian bookstore, and we saw this book. We saw this picture of Kaduri. We know something about all of that. And he said, I've been in Israel. I lived there for 8 years. I'm a Christian. I'm a Messianic Christian. He said, I was invited to speak before the Sanhedrin Council when it reconvened for the first time in 2,000 years. Back in 2006 or 7, it convened. He said, I was invited to speak on behalf of Christianity to help them understand Christianity, et cetera, et cetera. He said, so we saw this book and we couldn't believe it. He said, we were on the airplane in Ben Gurion International Airport when it was announced that Ariel Sharon had just gone into a coma. He said, as soon as we got home, one of our friends in Israel told us that Yitzhak Kaduri had died. He said, so we knew this story. He said, I read your book. He said, I was overwhelmed. We got the movie. We watched it. We're overwhelmed. He said, God has told us we need to take this to Israel. I said, oh, my gosh. I said, and he said, I want to meet you. So he drove up to the panhandle from down in South Florida. I mean, hours and hours, 12-hour drive. He drives up from up to the panhandle. He meets with me, makes sure that I'm for real. I check him out. I give him some books and movies. I give him box loads of books and movies. He buys more. And then he gets on an airplane with his wife and son. They fly to Israel, and they go straight to their contacts in Israel. Now, in the meantime, of course, they run into a buzzsaw when they get to Israel, because the Orthodox Jews there don't like this story at all. Some of the Messianic community there didn't like it because they didn't really understand it, and they thought it was some kind of a weird movement. They didn't really know at first. And so he just ran into buzzsaw after buzzsaw. But in the meantime, in my book, I talked about Zev Peratt and his ministry. Now, I had never met Zev, but I had seen his videos on YouTube. I had read his stories and testimonies of Jews coming to Christ, especially Kaduri students and him interviewing Kaduri students and this amazing thing that happened. So I have stories in my book about Zev Peratt. And so they knew Zev Peratt was in Israel, so they started looking him up. They didn't know him, but they started looking him up. They started asking questions. How can we find Zev Peratt? They finally found him. They got up with him. They said, we need to meet with you. We're from America. We've got something for you. They tell Zev about my book and movie. Zev had no idea I had written the book. He had no idea there was a movie made about it. Zev and his wife, Lynn, had been praying at the same time my wife and I were praying that the book and movie would make it to Israel. Zev and his wife, Lynn, had been praying. See, they knew the story, and they were trying to tell this story to their fellow Jews, and their fellow Jews wouldn't believe it because they didn't have any documentation of it because the media had shut it down, and the rabbis in Israel were denying it. So Zev and his wife were praying, God, let there be something put in print. Let there be something that will verify what we're saying. We're talking to his students. We know that we're not lying, but these Jews have to be convinced. And so here come these people from America. They have a meeting, and they say, guess what we've got? A book and a movie about Rabbi Yitzhak Kaduri naming Jesus as the Christ. And Zev was blown away. He said, oh, my gosh, this is answered prayer. So Zev takes the book and the movie. He reads it. He watches the movie. He's overwhelmed. He immediately starts witnessing and ministering to Jews. And there's so many stories. I'm going to make it short. But bottom line, he begins to use it as a witnessing tool to lead Orthodox Jews to the Old Testament, and then to the Old Testament, to the New Testament, and then from there to Jesus Christ. But the book and the movie opens the way to get them into the gospel, and Jews around Israel are now being saved and baptized. And it is, I mean, he led an Orthodox Jew at the Wailing Wall to Jesus Christ. He's been in Tel Aviv. He's been in Haifa. He's been in Jerusalem. The stories are just astounding, and he will tell you more of those when he comes on your show. But anyway, you can ask me. I know you've got a lot of questions to ask me, but that's it. Those are the God stories. That's how he got involved. That's how Zev got involved. In the meantime, let me answer your question about how it got interpreted. Translated into Hebrew.
Yeah, now, absolutely.
Now the book is not in Hebrew yet, but the movie has been subtitled in Hebrew and in Spanish. Let me tell you how that happened. I contacted my publishers once this book and movie hit Israel. Zev said, Carl, is there any way you can get this movie into Hebrew? Is there any way we can do that? And I said, Zev, it'll cost a ton of money. It'll cost thousands of dollars. He said, I need hundreds of books. I need hundreds of movies. And I need this somehow to be in Hebrew. So my wife and I started praying. Zev and his wife started praying. I don't know how long. It was not long. I'm going to say a week or two at the most. I got a phone call from my publishers. They were putting me in contact with a man and a woman up somewhere up in the Midwest. I've never met them. I don't know them. They had contacted the publishers. They had been seeing the video of Zev Peratt leading Jews to the Lord using this material. They contacted my publishers and said, the Lord told us that this stuff needed to be put in Hebrew, and that we needed to get materials to Israel, and God told us we needed to give X amount of money. And they named the many thousands of dollars that we needed, and they named that exact amount. They said, God said you needed this. And they and my publishers contacted me and said, can you believe this? And we contacted the people, and we told them, said, look, that's exactly what we need. If you're going to give that money as God has directed you, we will use every penny of it, and we will count for every penny. We will use every penny to get the movie dubbed into Hebrew, and hundreds and hundreds of books. I think we sent 600 or 700 books and 400, 500, 600 movies into Israel immediately on the first shipment. With that amount of money, we can do all of that. They sent the check within days. Within a few more weeks, we had the movie subtitled in Hebrew, and we had hundreds and hundreds of books and movies on the way to Israel. I mean, it's just one God story after another.
That's simply completely amazing. Let's backtrack a minute. Let me ask you this. Let me just state this to people. Folks, number one, you know, Carl was talking about how, you know, the Jews really got up and irate. Well, if you go back through our radio archive programs, before I had you on, Carl, before you wrote the book, Chris Putnam wrote a book along with that other guy he ministers with. I can't think of his name. You probably know him.
Yes,
but anyway,
I do.
Here comes my train again.
Yeah,
anyway, yeah, it's a wonderful thing. I keep threatening to turn it down, and my producer said, well, it gives character to the program.
It does, yes.
Anyway, I can talk now. Anyway, so Chris Putnam was on our radio program, and he brought this up because it was in a book that he wrote. Well, a fellow that I know real well, a Jew that I've had on radio programs several times because he's written some good books, but he's not a Christian, heard his test, and he was just in flame. He wanted to talk to Chris, man to man, you know. And so I got tired of hearing him raving, and so I asked Chris if he would come on and talk to him. And that program's still in the archives, and while we couldn't convince him of Rabbi Kaduri doing it, you can see how hard it hit a Jew because of how precious Rabbi Kaduri is to them. And I guess that's the point, you know, like you pointed out, Billy Graham, you know, he is that precious to them, and so it was like blasphemy, you know.
Yes. Go ahead. I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. There's a little delay here in the phone. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. You go ahead.
Okay. Well, it's always that way with Skype, but it does come in clearer for production things. Anyway, but what I was going to say about the book, Carl, that I wanted to point out to people is this book, you don't just read it and put it down. This book is a good book for a point of reference on everything because of all the wonderful facts and things that you put in it. You'll find yourself going to the shelf, well, wait a minute. I know about that. It's in that book. And so the book is a great reference book as well as a great story, which happens to be a true story. Don't you think, Carl?
Well, thank you for the accolades. I will agree with you that there are a lot of good facts and information in there and a lot of inspiration and encouragement. I don't know that I'm going to say that it's as wonderful as you just said, but God bless you. Thank you. And by the way, it's Chris Putnam and Thomas Horn.
Yeah,
and I've had Chris on my radio program and interviewed him as well concerning the book of The Last Pope. But listen, I heard, you know, after I first met you, and I think after my first interview with you on this book, The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, you directed me to that interview with that Jewish rabbi that was denying all of this, and I went and listened to it. And it was amazing because his biggest argument, truly, and I'm not trying to oversimplify it, but for the sake of, you know, radio, we've only got a few minutes left, his biggest argument was, well, Rabbi Kaduri was so orthodox and so Jewish and so venerated, he would have never said that, therefore he didn't say it. And I thought, well, you know, I understand the man's passion, I understand his angst, but that is not proof of anything. That's not an argument. He did say it. He put it in a note. The note was posted on his own website by his own people. The note was photocopied by two major Israeli media sources. I've got pictures of it in my book. 11 of his students are now giving testimony that he was, in fact, teaching this in his yeshiva privately to them. They're all born-again believers at the risk of losing everything they have. So I'm sorry, the argument that, well, he just wouldn't have done it, he did do it. That's what the book is about. That's what the movie's about. I know it's upsetting to the Orthodox Jews. They'll have to take it up with Kaduri if they're blessed enough to see him in glory, but he did do it. And now we're left with, you know, what does it mean?
Yeah, amen. I will go with this. You know, the fellow, the Jewish rabbi, Barry, his name Barry, you know, that's his arguments normally that he gives for things are really well put out, you know. And so it was really surprising for me to hear him just use that as an argument because he doesn't make those kind of arguments, you understand? And so he was carried away by passion, and that's what he did. It was just impossible for him to believe that.
Right.
And so which Yeshua all things are possible in. And this is real clear. So, Carl, how's the book doing? I mean, you know, it's been out for a while. How is that book doing other than Israel?
Yeah, it was released in November of 2013. And it's still, I mean, the book is still going crazy as far as sales go. But what's exciting is, you know, the movie is being shown in churches. The movie was taken to China. It made its way into the underground church community in China. The movie was shown in 40 to 50 churches in China, in the underground church. It sparked a revival there. As I said, it was taken into the streets in China. People were saved. Jews were saved. A Muslim imam in China was saved, gave his life, prayed a prayer of giving his life to Jesus. I saw it on film after being witnessed to from this. And the reason and the way the book opened it up was this Christian, this Messianic Jew was witnessing to this imam, and the imam said, "Wait a minute, you're a Jew, and you've come from Israel to China to tell me about Jesus, and your own people don't even believe in him." And this Messianic Jew said, "Oh yeah, have you ever heard of Yitzhak Kaduri?" And the guy said, "Well, yeah, everybody knows who he was." And he showed him the book, and he said, "Well," he said, "let me show you this note." He showed him the note. He said, "Even Yitzhak Kaduri, the most venerated rabbi, Jewish rabbi, even he said Jesus is Messiah." And the Muslim imam said, "Oh my gosh, how come I didn't know about this?" Jews all over Israel are saying that. They're saying, "Why didn't we know this?" And they're being told, because the rabbis have shut the story down. The Israeli media has shut it down. But the book and the movie has opened the story wide open. So the book's going crazy. The movie's going crazy. We're still shipping them into Israel. People are still being saved. The movie is still being shown. Churches all over America are showing it. The movie is the same name, The Rabbi Who Found Messiah. It was produced by WND Films, George Escobar, an award-winning film producer. He had a major motion picture on it in the theaters a few months ago. It was a faith film called Alone But Not Alone. He produced that. He's the same one that produced my movie, and I'm in the movie. I'm in the movie.
Yeah, Jonathan, we saw Kahn's you in the movie, and Jonathan Kahn's in the movie. I'm cutting you short because we're getting ready to get off.
I know.
Why is it every time you come on, time speeds forward? You know, we never have enough time.
I don't know, but time is speeding forward in my life too, brother. I wish we could slow it down somehow.
don't talk. I don't want that happens to me all the time. I was just discussing that with my wife earlier today. All right. Well, thanks for being on, Carl, and tune in next week and hear the program with Zev. And, in the meantime, you be blessed, brother. Thanks for being on.
Thank you.
All right. Anyway, folks, make sure you tune in next week. And you got to love Carl. Carl's a good dude. Go over and check out his website at carlgallops.com. He's a pastor, and he's a real guy, you know, and that's what I like about him. And so, but he walks the walk and talks the talk. He does it all. So bless Carl. Go over and check his site out. But above all, get this book and get the movie. It is really a great thing. I showed it in our mission church, and it had great results. People loved it, you know, and people were asking questions, you know. Anyway, next week, it'll be really good. So make sure that you turn in and watch it. This week, if you check it out on prophecyhour.com, sometime tonight, right after the program, I'm going to put some links up to our guests for next week. But we must remember, folks, that there really is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua, HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, just as he said he would. That would be a sign. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. If you're not a blessing to others, how is it that Yeshua resides in you? How is it the Holy Spirit resides in you? If you don't let that out, that's what you're supposed to do. Because people look at you, you say that you're born again, that you're saved. How can they? You have to allow Messiah to be seen in you so they'll want to know that you're set apart and that you're different so they can be that way themselves. Anyway, I better get out of here. Remember about praying about supporting the Wichita Mission Church. We really need your help. Pray about supporting radio. We have to pay for airtime. Lord our God, Father, King of the Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and His face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until next week, or next Thursday, in fact, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.